Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And tonight we have an interview with Charles Brown from the National Council of Consumers for Dental Choice. That'll be coming up in about half an hour. And
yeah, he's an interesting guy. We interviewed him last night on our show, Q103, the LA Steel Show out of Lakeville, Connecticut. And he was very interesting. I think you'll find the interview interesting, don't you think?
He was fun. He was very interesting.
Yeah.
And find out how toxic mercury is and why it's still being used in the
dental practices
around the country and around the world. And it's basically for profitability. And
only used in poor countries. Poor people.
Used in this country, too.
Everybody else has banned it.
Poor people. It hasn't been banned in this country.
I said everywhere in modern countries it's been banned.
Yeah, except in the United States.
Yeah.
And about 50% of the dentists are still using it because it makes money for them. It's profitable for them. That's what's going on there. Actually, I can pull this up here. If you just bear with me a second, I'm going to run over to one of my favorite websites here and I'll
see what the new news is today.
See what the new news is today.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I had to laugh at this because yesterday, I pulled this up yesterday to be on the show, but I didn't get a chance to. It's called a new terrorist threat to America. It's from Infowars.com, Steve Watson, and it says, the new terrorist threat to America, drunk British teenagers brandishing insults.
Yeah.
America faces a new threat possibly so severe that it has prompted President Obama and the FBI to take affirmative preventative action. No, it does not come in form of a radical religious extremist terrorist or international criminal enterprises, but rather it consists of drunken 17-year-old boys sending naughty emails to the White House. As reported by Sky News, British teenager Luke Angel has been banned from the U.S. for life. Oh, my God. After he sent an email insulting the president by calling him a nasty name. The young man had reportedly just finished watching a program. Why are you continually moving now?
Because I'm looking to see what's
happening. Let's see. A young man had reportedly just finished watching a program on TV about the 9/11 attacks, and after a couple of beers, felt the need to vent spleen by telling Obama that he thought the commander-in-chief was a punk, or a puke or something.
I guess punk.
I don't know either.
However,
it was a puck. I don't know. But anyway, it started with a P and ended with a K. But 30 seconds to work out what that insult actually is. Take 30 seconds to work out what that insult actually is. That's correct. It's a euphemism for male genitalia. Oh, prick. Oh, okay. Sorry. And a mild one at that. Okay. Nevertheless, the email was intercepted by the FBI, no less, who proceeded to contact the London Metropolitan Police in the UK, who then sent officers to visit the young Mr. Angel's home in Bedford. The police took a photograph of Angel, no doubt to be stored on a vital database of dangerous terrorists, but did not take any criminal action. When asked about the ban, Luke said, I don't really care. My parents aren't very happy about it. I don't remember exactly what I wrote
as I was drunk,
but I think I called Mr. Obama a prick. It was silly and the sort of thing you do when you're a teenager and have a few. College student Angel added.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah, well, anyway, here... we have another example of a situation being hyped beyond all rational sense in an effort to convey the idea that if you dislike or speak out against authority, you will be treated as a criminal. Obama reportedly receives scores of death threats every day. Why, in God's name, with the FBI if he'd taken the time to follow up on a mildly abusive email from a teenager in England and wide open borders, violent international drug cartels, known terrorists without passports being helped into planes by the U.S. State Department. And clearly, these issues pale in comparison to that of the insult brandishing email welding teen sitting in their English suburban bedrooms.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah, unbelievable. He is so sensitive to any criticism.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. A plain white van moving through traffic on a busy thoroughfare looks like a delivery vehicle making a run to local business. It could be any plain white van in any American city, but there are two men sitting in the back of the van operating X-ray machines. As their panel van moves in and out of traffic, the men use X-ray machines to scan passing vehicles, peering behind the walls of the adjoining trucks to discover if the targets are carrying weapons, drugs, or illegal immigrants. This scenario isn't from a spy movie. It's happening every day in the United States. The Department of Homeland Security, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Service, and even law enforcement agencies are buying and deploying mobile X-ray vans.
Whoa, that's pretty sick.
I don't think there's much more to read on that, Leo.
Yeah.
No.
Let me see.
So what?
Well, Homeland Security Janet
Napolitano
told Congress in an April 2010 hearing that 30 of the vans were being deployed to the Mexican border. Napolitano said machines would be used in mobile inspection capacity to identify anomalies in passenger vehicles on the southwest border. These machines greatly assist CBP officers in inspections. The military uses the machine in anti-terrorist operations in the Middle East and for base security in the United States for the past 3 years. The Air Force has used the device to scan vehicles that come to the gate of a statewide base. A contract from the Department of Defense website shows that the United States Marine Corps an $86 million contract in 2005 to purchase 52 of the vans. Delivery of the first part of the order was scheduled for 2006.
Yes, yeah, the same. Yeah, that's enough.
The new Z-Backer X-ray vans can be used to detect car bombs, guns, weapons, and that American Science and Engineering ability sold about 500 of the vans. It's pretty cool. And he goes on to explain how they're done. Jesus.
Let's go on to something else.
Something interesting. The key point is not that it's on regulatory technology, it's regulating police practices and the use of the new technology.
I don't like that it's used here.
Based on what the Supreme Court has said in other similar cases, I think there is to be some probable cause or warrant before people are scanned without suspicion.
That's what I don't like.
Images are provided of what people look like without their clothes, and that's the body scanning goal.
I don't like that idea at all.
No, I mean, it's way too invasive, and, yeah.
What are you at, war with your own people?
Yeah,
how do you feel?
Oh, here you go. Georgia man fined $5,000 for growing vegetables.
A Georgia resident who has been an organic farmer for years is now facing $5,000 in fines for growing too many vegetables on his own land. That's right. Steve Miller, who has sold some of his produce at local farmers markets, as well as growing food for himself, is likely the victim of an online aerial invasion of property. This invasion of property is probably due to the fact that unless visited or inspected by an official, there would be no way for there to be an accurate or factual accounting of what was going on Mr. Miller's property. The question is, does Steve Miller legally pose a reasonable expectation of privacy on his own private property? Yeah. Recent reports of a local and state officials and bureaucrats using online mapping software have now become mainstream tools for assessing fees and generating money for cash-strapped local and state budgets. Does it seem right that anywhere that Google Maps and Bing Maps can go is legal to use as a source of information? If a person was bathing in their pool with every expectation of privacy and someone peeked over the fence, wouldn't that constitute a criminal offense? Is the expectation of privacy something the government wants to destroy altogether? Is government today at a point where the end justifies the means? Yeah. In January and February, when he received his first citation, Steve was able to get the property rezoned, allowing him to grow his garden, a right most Americans believe he already had. The Declaration of Independence states one's unalienable right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Isn't growing your own personal food supply an exercise of that right to life and liberty? No constitutional government can assess any fee for exercising these unalienable rights. In the recent past, Big Free Gardens were encouraged. They were the pride of one's backyard and of a nation that was selfish and self-sufficient. The television series The Victory Garden on PBS documents gardening and promotes gardening, tips and features vegetables as a great personal achievement. Historically, Victory Gardens in World War II were encouraged to keep the supply of food at a maximum and personal growing increased the industrial supply to the military. Are people going to let this fascist takeover to continue even growing a garden, the privacy of one's own personal property be taken away? If the answer is no, then what are you prepared to do about it? You can watch the video aired on WSB-TV in Georgia. County sues farmer for excessive crops. Let them know how you feel about this. The question remains unanswered. How did the code enforcement agency know Mr. Miller had a garden in the first place?
Interesting. Yeah. And they use Google Maps. You know,
and Bing Maps.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a sick.
I don't like that.
I don't either. They should be banned. They really should. I think Google should be banned.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't know. It's scary, man. Scary. I had a guy who, there was an article I read the other day. The guy said, don't use Google. Don't Google up anything because all searches are sent to the NSA.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, through Google. So, that's interesting. And you go through smart.com. I think it's smart.com. They don't trace the searches or store the searches. This is discouraging. Fed spent the genital washing program.
No.
You sure?
If there's nothing better, I'll come back.
I thought that was interesting.
I didn't think
to spend that kind of money?
Let's
read the code.
Let's read the paper.
Fed spent $800,000 of economic stimulus on African genital washing programs. The National Institute of Mental Health, a division of the National Institute of Health, spent $823,200 of economic stimulus funds in 2009 on a study by a UCLA research team to teach uncircumcised African men how to wash their genitals after having sex. The genitalia washing program is part of the larger $12 million UCLA study examining how to better encourage Africans to undergo voluntary HIV testing and counseling. However, only the penis washing study received money from the 2009 economic stimulus law. The washing portion of the study is set to end in 2011. Imagine that. They're freaking nuts. I mean, they don't give them HIV counseling or testing. No. They don't care. Just wash yourself. I don't read anything about.
No, I'm sick of that.
Belgian Catholic Church sex abuse. Compensation claims. There was over 500 of them, 500 or 600.
ClimateGate whitewashes squirm like maggots on Bishop Hill's pin. David Icke speaking.
BP partners. The most victims not yet entitled to sue.
BP and his partners in the blowout Gulf Well said on Monday that thousands of fishermen, seafood processors, restaurants, Hotel owners, restaurateurs, hotel owners, and others may not yet have the right to sue over the spill, according to court papers. BP and its partners, such as Transocean Limited, Halliburton, and the majority of alleged victims, who have brought about 400 lawsuits, must first take their claims to a $20 billion fund established by BP. The $20 billion fund is dependent upon the U.S. granting BP continued access to deep water drilling. How dare they put that condition on it?
Oh, yeah. That was the whole deal. We read about this before, right? But let's see if there's any further details, which I doubt. It's from the New York Times. I doubt if there's any exciting here. Plaintiff attorneys also filed their management proposals in which they pressed the court to begin expanded discovery next month. Largest, most costly in history. Yeah. Plaintiff would likely benefit if hundreds of the cases move quickly. They proposed BP and its partners should turn over electronic messages, contracts, and details about employees with knowledge about the well and much more in the coming weeks. The defendants, who are presumably better served if the case languish and drop from the news coverage, countered with a proposal by setting a schedule to agree on the format for requested documents. BP and its defendants sought to use the $20 billion claims fund to slow the pace of the lawsuits. They argued that cases in which someone claimed an economic loss, such as a restaurant that suffered because it did not serve Gulf seafood or shrimper, whose boat was idled by the fishing ban, could not sue until it brought its claim to the BP fund. Blah, 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 blah. So it's just a, you know, they can't sue, they have to go to the fund. Thanks, Obama, for that.
Yeah.
Mr. Obama, you prick. Okay. British and Canadian military running heroin smuggling operations, claims okay. British newspaper.
Let's see what this is, a little audio.
This is
audio.
A quick audio here, so we'll play that.
A British newspaper is reporting claims that British and Canadian soldiers are running a heroin smuggling operation out of Afghanistan using military planes. According to an article in the Sunday Times, a network of British soldiers based at Camp Bastion and Canadian soldiers based at Kandahar Airport are alleged to be organizing the smuggling. A British defense spokeswoman has issued a statement saying, "We are aware of these allegations. Although they are unsubstantiated, we take any such reports very seriously." The CBC has contacted Canada's Department of Defense. It would neither confirm nor deny that an investigation has been launched.
That was Fox News of the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Company. Let's see. Okay.
Here comes dementia screening for adults as young as 25 with the utmost dose to be prescribed. Proteins called amyloid plaques, which build up in the brain of dementia sufferers, are thought to be linked to the onset of symptoms such as memory loss and mental impairment. New scientists claim to have established a link between the production of plaques and a separate process through which the brain converts sugar into the energy known as aerobic glycolysis. Scans of a group of young adults whose average age was 25 showed that aerobic glycolysis was especially high in the same areas of the brain where amyloid plaques build up in older patients, including Alzheimer's sufferers.
Results suggested a possible connection between the energy-producing process in young adults and the later development of Alzheimer's, researchers said. In an article in the American Journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, they said there was a possible link between regional aerobic glycosis in young adults and later development of Alzheimer's pathology.
Professor Mark Minton, one of the report's lead authors, said, "Ideas for treatment could come out of this if we could show that people are already making plaques, we even in a small amount, then it could lead to screening and intervening very early. Researchers compared the pattern of aerobic glycolysis in 33 young adults with the distribution of amyloid plaques in 11 Alzheimer's sufferers whose average age was 80, and 14 cognitively normal people who had high concentrations of the plaques average age 75. Previous studies have identified amyloid plaques as a hallmark of Alzheimer's disease, but scientists have not proved that the extent and location of plaque deposits are linked to any previous activity in the brain. Aerobic glycolysis produces about 5% of the brain's energy, and levels of it vary across brain regions in healthy people.
I saw something the other night. I think we both watched it. I'm not sure, but they had as a cure for Alzheimer's,
yeah,
on these plaque that grows on these on people's brains.
Yeah.
All right. And they found this drug that was able to destroy the plaque.
Yeah.
All right. And it worked great in mice, and it worked in humans. So
in trials. So that'd be great.
Yeah. It looks like Alzheimer's might have a cure. Outstanding.
Because that happens very young. Isn't it? Masons flaunt their powers.
Yeah, it's a little...
Trash David Icke.
Yeah, second thought. Consequences.
Oh, link between heart disease, deaths, and fast foods. Let's watch that.
Yeah, well, this is a quick one. It's only 40 seconds, so you can check this out.
Burning.
And his wife's crying over. He's got a cheeseburger in his hand. That was fun.
High cholesterol, high blood pressure, heart attacks. Tonight, make it vegetarian.
Oh, that's funny. Guy was on a gurney with a hamburger in his hand. Let's see. That's a fish kill reported in Louisiana.
Huh. Well, we haven't heard that.
Nope. What do you see?
Above isn't rural gravel road. It's Louisiana waterway. Its surface completely covered with dead sea life.
My God.
A mishmash of species of fish, crab, stingray, and eel. New Orleans CBS affiliate WWL-TV reports that even a whale was found dead in the area.
It looks, this picture looks exactly like a
gravel road,
and even tar, but it stretches on for quite a while, and it's in the reeds, and it looks like, it's all dead sea life. Oh my God! Fish kills are fairly common along the Gulf Coast, particularly during the summer in the area near the south mouth of the Mississippi, the site of this kill. The area is rife with dead zones, stretches. Where sudden oxygen depletion can cause widespread death. But those kills tend to be limited to a single species of fish rather than the broad sort of die-off involved in this kill. And therein lies the concern of Gulf residents who suspect that this may be another side effect of the catastrophic BP oil spill.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, that's frightening.
Because that causes oxygen depletion in the water.
Hmm. And there lies the, plaque mines perish. Plaque mines perish. President Bill Nungesser sounded the alarm bells yesterday, distributing. Oh, look at that! Look at that!
I know it.
There are millions of those damn things. Holy Christ!
Oh, you can play it.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm playing. Determine how the kill may relate to the BP oil disaster, but he pleads with officials from the Louisiana Department of Wildlife Fisheries. See, where can we go? Oh, Upernet, urukne.info, all right, has that. All right, so you can go to that to see the pictures and stuff. It's pretty frightening. We can continue to see these fish kills, Nergesser says. a statement. We need some additional tests to find out why these fish are dying in large numbers. If it is low oxygen, we need to identify the cause. Dead zones are increasingly common in the world's oceans, but they particularly so off Louisiana.
Okay. Because nutrient-rich waters and sediment from the nation's agricultural runoff travels downriver and is dumped into the Gulf. Various species of single-cell plant-like organisms flourish in waters enriched with chemical nutrients, organisms that go on to vastly deplete the oxygen in the water they inhabit. Many scientists have feared that an influx of oil-eating microbes would lead to more Gulf Coast dead zones, since the microbes use large amounts of oxygen when they consume
the oil particles
produced by chemical dispersants.
Yeah, let's see what this says. It says dead whale and thousands of dead fish found near Venice shipping canal.
I was a small boy growing up in Malaysia when my uncle opened
my eyes. Oh, it's an advertisement.
Yeah, well, they gotta do this before they do it. You can't get rid of this future.
He taught me to look for the potential in everything.
I don't prefer the advertisement on here. But anyway, this is supposed to be a good one. Let's see if it is.
Shipping channel, as well as a dead whale that was reported in Venice today. The species include crabs, stingrays, eel, drum, speckled trout, and redfish. The video you're about to see is not a gravel road. Those are the dead fish. Plaquemines Parish President Billy Nungesser sent these pictures. He says that there is no testing going on to determine if the fish are dead from the oil spill, although the northern Gulf has suffered a persistent dead zone of low oxygen, blamed on nutrient-rich runoff from the Mississippi River. Nungesser says that this is different because usually the kills happen to only one or two species of fish.
We're talking about the long-term testing of the quality of the water, the fish, and the environment. And we don't see a collective group really wanting to know what's going on, and we need to demand that happens.
Well, one University of Georgia scientist who found oil at the bottom of the Gulf says that she has not seen any convincing data that connects the oil to the fish kills, but that studies have to be done to determine exactly what's going on.
Anyway, we're just about ready to play our interview. And our interval is with Charlie Brown. And he's going to talk to us about mercury fillings.
Okay. So anyway, that's the news with the views tonight. And we're going to go to our interview with Charlie Brown. And he's the... spokesman for the consumer. Oops, I'm sorry.
That's right.
For the National Council of Consumers for Dental Choice, and they're going to be talking about mercury tonight. This will be interesting. Let's see if there's just anything else that's more that's exciting. I don't think so. No. Okie doke. And we're going to back to you. All right, so we're going to play that interview with Charlie Brown, and we'll be back right after that.
Okay. I hope you folks find it informative. I did.
Yeah,
I thought he was great.
The show starts off with a short piece missing, so but you'll get the gist of it.
Toxic and. Frankly, dentists have no power to transform a toxic product into a safe one, despite the assurance that the 19th century dentists, and that's what I have to call the ones still using amalgam, give you in the chair. And the reason, in fact, they'll call it silver filling, so they don't even want you to know it's mercury.
Right. So what do people have as a choice when they go into the dentist?
Well, you have the resin. which is the light, it's kind of like a pitcher's resin substance. It's called compositor resin. It's a white colored. The amalgam is gray colored. And you have glass ionometers. That's a growing one. That's a low-income choice. But you must insist. I mean, half the dentists have given up. Right. They know there's no reason for amalgam. Half the dentists have transitioned to the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
Amalgam is a polluting, primitive, pre-Civil War product that, amazingly, because the American Dental Association for so long got kickbacks for promoting it and had and owned patents on amalgam, and the American Dental Association is still promoting it, and these drill, fill, and bill clinics are using amalgam because it's so profitable. They make more per filling per chair. So working families who get no respect at these dental offices frequently are given mercury fillings. The smarter dentists, the ones in the 21st century, the modern dentists, have given up on amalgam. Go to a dentist that doesn't use amalgam. If he still uses amalgam, if she still uses amalgam, get out of the chair and get out of the 19th century and go to a modern dentist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question to you is, let's say somebody is on a health insurance policy or a dental policy, or let's say somebody is on a state assistance policy of some sort, you know.
Do they cover the
resin type or the other type, or do they specifically state because of cost they have to go to the amalgam?
You've asked a very good question, and that is a barrier, but not an insurmountable one. First of all, the Medicaid policies allow choice. Dentists may not tell them that, but we got a law passed in California that made it clear that Medi-Cal patients can't have a choice. That then spread to just about every state. So the patient can insist, if you can find a dentist who will do it, that's a problem in the Medicaid. In insurance, yes, the insurance companies are trying to keep people on amalgam. It's typical of insurance companies. They don't want change. They like their quick and easy profits, too. One way is for a physician to recommend that the patient is mercury sensitive. Another is to ask the dentist to steer you through the amalgam. A third would be to pay the difference. Just pay the difference and get the resin. Of course, it's easier said than done for a lot of families. I know that, but a lot of toxin in your child's mouth.
Like how much is the difference in most cases?
Just 20%. It's not much. It might be $20, might be $50. It might be 100, but that's unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
Dentists exaggerate the difference. But let me say this, too. That amalgam is a taxpayer ripoff. Amalgam is the most expensive. That is, mercury amalgam is the most expensive if you count externalized costs. But these amalgam profiteers are having their amalgam subsidized by the taxpayers who are paying for the cleanup from the mercury they dump in the water, from the health bills they cause, from the mercury going through the crematories from our teeth. So basically, you have a situation of the taxpayer subsidizing the wealthiest health profession in America by allowing them to charge the least and make quick and easy profits from amalgam.
Go ahead.
Can you tell our listeners some of the bad effects of having mercury in your teeth?
Well, Lila, it's mercury toxicity. You get mercury toxicity. From there, you are poisoned. You have poison in your body. That can lead to any kind of neurological or kidney problems. It can be one of the reasons and not the only reason. It's hard to trace cigarette smoking directly to problems. You know, most smokers don't get lung cancer, in fact. Most of them don't die from smoking, but a heck of a lot of them do. So it's mercury toxicity, which in turn makes your body both neurotoxic and susceptible to neurological diseases and susceptible to chronic fatigue and many other problems because you just don't have the strength in your body when there's a poisonous vapor implanted 2 inches from your brain. Remember, mercury is the most volatile heavy metal as well as the most toxic heavy metal. You look at it, it's very shimmery. That's because vapors are coming off all the time.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So I was curious that with the mercury being used in vaccines, okay, as preservatives, all right, we as a preservative of sorts, and it's attributed now to autism. All right.
Well, there's some controversy around that.
Well, there's a lot of controversy, but they find that 1 in 4 kids who are vaccinated are getting autistic, okay? So, and they're figuring that's the only link that there really is that they can figure it out, that they can link it to. But I just read something from your website that said that between the study was done between 1999 and 2000, that that over 630,000 newborns in the United States had
high
levels of mercury in them, and that was based on the mothers these were newborns, so they and they were from the mother's blood, all right, was contaminated with mercury, and over 630 newborns.
Yes, that's the Environmental Protection Agency, actually. That's not any but wild radicals. The EPA is announced years ago,
right,
6 or 7 years ago, that 1 in 7 children is born mercury toxic, that 1 in 7 mothers is at risk of having a brain-damaged child because of the mercury already in her body, 1 in 7 women of childbearing age. That's such a high number, you shouldn't have to figure it out, because most lower-income mothers are never going to find out. Maybe nobody is. So the point is, that's such a high number, the answer is do not allow any addition of mercury to their bodies. So for women of childbearing age, it's a no-brainer. Canada, Canada said pregnant women should not get mercury fillings. And Canada said this in 1996. 14 years have passed with the Food and Drug Administration being in the hip pocket of the amalgam industry and the dental association and covering it up. And it got worse in recent years, because the commissioner of FDA now came straight from the boardroom of Henry Schein. They're pretty near you all in Long Island. Henry Schein is the largest seller of amalgam in the country. And Henry Schein and Margaret Hamburg sat on their board for years, came to the FDA directly from Henry Schein, did not sell her stock options, so she promised she would, did not sell them right away, and worked on the amalgam rule while owning Henry Schein stock options, despite promising not to and despite getting 2 letters from me asking her what she was doing.
Wow.
That's very sad.
Yeah.
So what do you think you can do about all this?
Well, we've got a lot coming right now. First, the FDA faced such an uproar. The trade press said it was the largest grassroots explosion against an FDA rule in modern history.
Mm-hmm.
The Food and Drug Administration has agreed to reconsider the rule, and they will hold a hearing December 14th and 15th. On our website at the top is a way for people to write the FDA and make their comments and ask FDA to stop covering up the mercury. FDA doesn't even require dentists or amalgam makers like Henry Schein to disclose the existence of the mercury. That's how much FDA is protecting industry instead of us. So ask FDA to reconsider, disclose the mercury, protect the young women, protect the children. Second, people can come to Washington for that. So we have FDA back on the griddle, back reconsidering. On a more macro level, and this is pretty exciting, the world, the United Nations, is hosting a series of 5 conferences where, and the end result in 2013 will be a treaty on mercury. We're trying to get amalgam, and are getting amalgam, front and center for consideration in that treaty. And let me say a good word about the president here, because President Obama reversed the Bush position and ordered the United States to go to the table and start negotiating and try to be on the positive side of getting a world treaty.
Well, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
It would be wonderful. We need to get amalgam in. The fine print can kill us, because the World Dental Federation, which is the American Dental Association on steroids, is lobbying away to say, well, let's get rid of other mercury, but we want our mercury to be permanent. And even more of a moral indictment, they are trying, they know they're on the losing side of the arc in the developed countries, so they're trying to expand sales into the low-income countries, and the Food and Drug Administration amazingly sent a representative to that conference trying to promote amalgam sales in the low-income, in the third-world countries. That's how much FDA is on the side of the amalgam companies. Maybe they'll change their mind at these hearings.
Hmm.
Maybe reason will prevail. We've got to try.
Well, that's exactly what they did with tobacco.
Oh, sure.
When sales,
a lot of analogies.
When sales went down, they just, you know, exported it to the rest of the world.
Right, and that's what FDA is facilitating.
Unconscionable.
The amalgam makers, and that's what companies like Henry Schein tend to do as their sales go down in the United States. But there's another analogy to tobacco, is the silence about mercury. I mean, one pregnant woman, if a dentist says to her, ma'am, here come your mercury fillings, she'd have her butt out of that chair and out of that office right then if the dentist would say the truth, mercury fillings. Instead, they say silver fillings.
Right.
Cover-up is there by FDA. But the cover-up is there in Congress. I mean, the tobacco companies didn't say, Congressman Jones, Congresswoman Smith, would you go to the floor of the House and speak in favor of tobacco? No, they didn't. They said, just keep silent. Keep quiet, and here's another pack check. So congressman after congresswoman, and it just said nothing. And FDA said nothing, and the Medical Association, and for a long time, said nothing. In fact, doctors promoted it. And finally, of course, the outcry came. The silence was broken. Well, that's what the American Dental Association does with its PAC funds. Just don't mention the word mercury. Help us keep the lid on, and we'll help you get reelected.
Now, what got you into this fight, Charlie?
Well, I got interested because I was a lawyer, and
mm-hmm.
I represented dentists who were being told they had to stay silent. The American Dental Association has a gag rule in its code of ethics, a directive that dentists don't talk about the mercury. Now, the ADA could not enforce this by themselves. They had the state dental boards in Connecticut and Maine and Nebraska and Florida and California and Oregon, all over the country, telling dentists, if you talk about mercury, we'll pull your license. So the law firm I was in, Swanken and Turner, and Jim Turner's the leading alternative health lawyer in the country, I'm sure. They came to Jim, these dentists did, and I started going around the country representing dentists and raising the First Amendment, saying, hey, a dentist has a right to speak up, and if he or she thinks mercury's toxic, they have every right to advertise, and they have every right to speak to their patients. And the dental boards, in the end, after a couple of years, basically were blocked from trying to enforce the gag rule.
That's amazing. You know, I wanted to ask you, they stated some of the side effects of mercury were sluggishness, neurological, most neurological of diseases or breakdown. There was something else. Hold on one second. I just got to refer to it.
It's a kidney problem. It's a lot of things. It's a reproductive toxin. That is, it means it goes straight, as the state of California has already declared.
Learning disabilities.
Sadly.
Yeah, learning disabilities, lower intelligence, and, and sluggishness and all kinds
sounds
of
like
problems.
Sounds like fibromyalgia.
Yeah, and things that you can't, put your finger on, but that's what they're, supposedly it's causing. I've had this problem with fluoride recently. There's been a lot of evidence to try the fluoride poisoning in your water. It's causes memory loss, causes a reduction in IQ, and all this stuff. And
there's only so much the human body can take.
Fluoride,
I mean,
it gets
flooded with these things, and it's bound to break down.
It's
I think you've hit it on the head.
Yeah.
Really, for the simplistic people, a person like me, a non-scientist, somebody said to me, look, think of the glass of water. Drip, drip, drip. All
mm-hmm.
at once, it looks full. It gets fuller. The drops keep coming. All at once, there's a drop that hits, and all this water spills.
I can't explain
why, but we all know that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the human body. You take so much toxins, so much stress, so much piling on in this society, and it could be the mercury, but it is really part of the risk. There's a study that is just chilling, and it's about autistic children and non-autistic children and the mercury in their hair. Many mothers will save the first haircut for their young child. And so this physician, Dr. Holmes, this professor Haley, asked the mothers for hair samples for the autistic children and non-autistic children. And one of the group had mercury in the hair and one didn't. And when I asked the question, everyone said, well, the autistic children have mercury in the hair. And the answer is no. The able-bodied or non-autistic, whatever you call it, say non-autistic children had mercury in their hair because they were a able to discharge the mercury. They were able, through their feces, urine, sweat, hair, they were getting rid of the mercury that had come from the power plant, from the mother's teeth, from the mother's body, all the ways that they already had mercury. The autistic children, just tragically, were unable to discharge the toxin in time. It wasn't in their hair. Sadly, it was still in their brains.
That's really sad. Thing. But how do you, I hate to sound discouraged, but, I probably got some mercury in my teeth. My fillings are somewhere. I mean, I've got some old fillings that haven't fallen out yet. It's in almost everything, isn't it? I mean, it's everywhere. It's in what we're breathing and what we're eating and what we're injecting into our systems through vaccinations. Mercury is essentially everywhere, isn't it?
It's a lot of places, and it's like we can't say, well, let's throw in the towel. I mean, when I grew up, there was a point I used to swim at Lake Erie. I grew up in Ohio, and then there was a point nobody could swim in Lake Erie because it was so polluted. Well, now you can swim in Lake Erie again because people rolled up their sleeves and said, we don't want the Great Lakes of America to be so polluted nobody can swim in them. And so we made a lot of progress, not enough, but a lot of progress. I think we're going backwards again, but we were. And here there's mercury. I mean, mercury's coming out of thermometers. You don't have it in the hospitals anymore. Mercury's coming out of engine switches. Mercury's coming out of lots of uses. It's just the American Dental Association is basically founded in the 19th century and is still defending the indefensible. I mean, it's just...
How about the people that work in the mercury or amalgam industry? I mean, the people that manufacture this stuff or have something to do with it or around it. I mean, aren't they...
consequences for them.
They must be dropping like flies or have
I'm not sure of the manufacturing safeguards, but I know the dentist office has no safeguards that mean anything. The dental assistant is working in a highly toxic environment. If she or he was working in a factory, as the amalgam makers would be, they would have full protection of their breathing. If a dental assistant should be, and the dentists that don't use amalgam and remove it properly have their dental assistants and themselves very properly attired, full body covers, not partial, correct breathing devices, not a gauze. A gauze doesn't help you, but a full breathing. You look like an astronaut. Dentists that use mercury fillings don't do that because people would walk in and say, doctor, why is your dental assistant dressed like an astronaut? But did you say mercury, doctor? I mean, they want the secret. So they put their own employees at risk because they want to keep the mercury secret. The mercury friendly dentists don't do that. They protect them on removals. But the pro-mercury dentists actually care so little about their employees and so much about their profits, they don't even protect their own dental assistants and dental hygienists.
Amazing. We were talking about tobacco before and all these other things, but I was reviewing, I was watching this series recently called Mad Men. And it was about the advertising industry back in the 60s, all right? And it's a series that's coming around. It's a popular series, I guess. And the interesting thing about that program was that these were all the Madison Avenue guys, right? And how they promote this stuff, they're promoting all these different products and stuff. But one of the incredible things about this was the tobacco industry. They were showing that. But everybody in this series, everybody in this television series, smoked. Okay, smoking was the biggest thing going then. Smoking and drinking. It's like everybody, if you were a man, you smoked and you drank. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I can remember as a kid, all right, everybody in my family smoked, all right? But of course, everybody in my family, I'm sure, had... And everybody, I had all the kids I grew up with, and everyone in my school probably had mercury fillings. All right, back in the 60s, right? So, but it was just amazing how society can be so incredibly screwed over. All right, by the AMA, the dental associations, the government, of course, the FDA. I mean, how? how many more, how much more is there that we're missing here? I mean, we finally caught up to mercury, all right, and cigarettes, but what else is there that we're missing now? I mean, major toxins that we're letting go.
Well, we're always one behind, but the point is we got to deal with the ones that are there.
I believe that.
It was a 500-year mistake. Mercury is a 200-year mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Then after we get mercury, we've got to start looking at the 100-year mistakes. And there's probably, there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
I think the last 20-year mistake is the genetically modified foods. I think that's what's happening now. You're genetically modifying the soy and wheat and corn and
sugar beet.
And sugar beet.
That's
all of these big industrial staples, all right, are all genetically modified. And I suffer from a gluten allergy, all right? I found that to be. And that is because I found that it is based that all wheat products today are primarily
genetically modified.
And genetically modified wheat has four times the amount of gluten in it that normal wheat does, all right?
Oh.
Organic wheat or whatever.
Sure. Thank you for that. I did not know that.
Yeah, that's
They're
very true.
So much nutrition out of our food.
Well, Kellogg's themselves, we had a boycott on. There's a boycott, which I firmly stand behind, on Kellogg's the food, because Kellogg's, and I'm sure Post is the same way, but Kellogg's has been so arrogant about it that when they were approached about they're using genetically modified corn and wheat and so on, they said, "So what?" You know, they told people, "So what? That's what we're doing." You know, we have no plans to be any healthier than that.
Leo, let me make a pitch for a boycott we have against Henry Schein. We've asked dentists and the physicians and the other health professionals. They sell to health professionals not to buy from Schein. We have hundreds of health professionals worldwide who have joined that boycott because Henry Schein is the lead seller of Amalgam, and Henry Schein was the place from which Margaret Homburg launched her career and through the revolving door from Henry Schein to FDA. Her emails going back to Henry Schein officials after she took office on her private email account, which we've discovered, indicate she never broke her ties with Schein. She continued to be their person inside the government. So,
and does she still have
the boycott going? And you can learn about it on her website.
All right, we'll find it.
Now,
go ahead. Yes.
Was there any consequence for her to have that conflict of interest?
No, FDA's press machine is fantastic, and we did make complaints, but people read about it, but there was no one. I don't know what to say except that she's...
Wait a minute. You're saying that NBC did not have a major Dateline expose on mercury? What is it? Wait, that's un-American, for crying out loud.
Right.
We have to call the cops or call the White House on this.
The cops, when we do.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So our website number is toxicteeth.org, toxicteeth.org, and you can write the Food and Drug Administration or learn about our boycott or other issues, and people can write us at info@toxicteeth.org. I'd be happy to talk about what we're doing if you have individuals wondering to call in.
We'd love to have it.
If dentists want to join that boycott of Henry Schein, is there some way they can do it through you, or they just do it themselves?
They write us. We have a list. They just can start. They can do it without writing us. But we have a list, and we have, we have a letter we keep adding to. So,
good.
We'd love for the dentists and other any other health professionals who because that's who Henry Schein sells to. And we just think, I mean, the general counsel Henry Schein wrote to Commissioner Homburg 2 days after the Amalgam Rule was announced and said that we are indebted to you for your work as commissioner. It's just not the kind of government we need and deserve. And again, let me say that there's some good things going on in government on the environmental side of mercury, but there's just continual bad things going on in the regulatory side of mercury amalgam.
They're cleaning things up on the outside, the grounds and all this kind of stuff, but they're implanting it in your teeth. So I mean, what good is that for people anyway?
Well, Leo, we can lose every battle and win the war. People saying no to their dentist, and if dentists can't get any business, if everybody's going to mercury-free dentist, I'll bet you the dentists are going to change in order to keep their patients.
Oh,
and I think that's the key. And I think that's what people should do. Maybe they should have those mercury fillings removed, and if they need any new fillings, at least be informed that they can make a choice and a safe choice. And we really appreciate what you're doing, bringing attention to this issue and fighting to stop it. We need more people like you.
Well, we'll hope to talk again. Thank you.
Yeah,
we do.
Okay, we're cutting off a little early there, but we want to express toxicteeth.org is your website.
Yes, right? It is, and we have the FDA battle is up there, the United Nations issues, and we've started a special project in California. And we certainly, if people want to, because California, I think you're more of an East Coast guy, but if you got Coast team, excuse me, both of you, but we certainly, if you want to learn about that, or if you have a California relative or friend, you can, again, write us info@toxicteeth.org, and we'll include
you. Well, actually, Eileen should be, Eileen is out there in California.
Good.
And so I'll ask her for the for more information on it. On the boycott. Eileen Proctor.
Oh, Eileen's terrific. And she's helping us out there getting things organized.
Yeah,
yeah, she's great.
Proctor PR. PR. First, her last name is Proctor, so it's Proctor. PR for Proctor and PR for Public Relations.
You got it. You got it. So anyway, I want to thank you so much, Charlie, for being with us, and I wish you the best of luck, and I hope to hear more from you in the future.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, have a good night.
Good night. And, of course, to all those dentists out there, I think it'd be really smart of you to join the boycott of William Schein.
If you don't, your patients who have dentists who are working in astronaut suits around you, I think... that's a little telltale sign that they're using mercury. So unless they're pulling mercury out of your teeth and replacing it, there was something better. But that would be my guess. But
so you do have an alternative. Resins and composites that you can use.
Yeah, I mean, dentists have a tough enough time, PR time, as it is. You know, like, but I mean, to add to it by using mercury, I mean, this is villainous. These are criminal villains.
You need to be on the good guys' side.
Yeah, so straighten out, guys. Or, you know, we'll be talking about license removal here. I mean, hopefully if Charlie gets his way. And so I want to thank Charlie for that. And we got Woody coming up in just a minute. Let me do a...
station ID.
Yeah, this is WQQQ. 103.3 FM in Sharon, Lakeville, and Milton. All right. And that was our interview with Charles Brown. And I thought I'd end tonight's show just by reading a little something, a little press statement here about this group. Toxic to teeth, toxic to environment, and toxic to everyone's health. Surgeon General warning, reading this press release may be beneficial to your health. It's not for naught that there's a proposed resolution in a plank in the forthcoming United Nations Treaty on Mercury, a date certain to determine the end of deadly dental mercury amalgam. European nations have largely banned malicious mercury. But in the United States, our very survival now depends upon the Obama administration leading the rest of the world in adopting this plank. Marketed deceptively as silver fillings, amalgam is an environmental pollutant for all of us and a serious workplace hazard for everyone working with mercury in the workplace. Two-tier dentistry in America, where the haves get alternatives and the have-nots get the shaft along with totally toxic mercury fillings, must be eliminated. To put it bluntly, that means choice for the rich, mercury for the poor. But these clinical dental factories call amalgam silver, even though the fillings, composed mainly of 43% to 54% of the neurotoxin mercury. Explanation. Mercury is a virulent neurotoxin and reproductive toxin. It is already so omnipresent in our environment that the U.S. EPA says 1 in 7 women of childbearing age is at risk of having a brain-damaged child. Dental mercury amalgam is a primitive pre-Civil War polluting product composed mainly of 43 to 54% of mercury. Major environmental pollutant, amalgam is the number two source of annual mercury sales in the U.S. and the largest source of mercury in the wastewater and the largest source of mercury from household waste. And more mercury in American teeth than in all products combined, and the cremation use increasing, amalgam is a major source of air pollution. Proposition 65 mandates signs in dental offices that, as a balance of the law, must read dental amalgam used in many dental fillings caused exposure to mercury, a chemical known to the state of California to cause birth defects or other reproductive harm. All right, so mercury is in the water, folks, and it's everywhere and in the air, especially in your dentist's office. So I would avoid that. So it's 9 o'clock. The show's done. I think I should still mention this market deception. Over 3/4 of consumers say Zogbipol would choose a non-mercury filling if they knew. Market term silver filling misleads them. So don't believe in anything called silver fillings, which is probably what you have in your mouth, which I know is what I have in my mouth, not realizing that it's killing me, I guess, and killing you. But, I don't have, $50,000 to go and get everything removed from my mouth and put back in, I guess, unlike everybody else. We're stuck with it. But, at the same time, let's do it gradually anyway. Maybe we can afford to do some of it this year or some of it next year, but let's get it out of our systems, folks. And let's work on it, knowing that we have a problem. And make sure you don't let your sons or daughters or those who don't have fillings or need fillings not to get mercury fillings. Amalgam, again, silver fillings. Do not allow them to have it. And leave any dentist who does it, leave their office. Ask them if they put mercury in. If so, get up and out. That's beware of these people. All right, so I want to wish you all a good night, and thanks for listening.